time. We're doing this study, not a fan, to help us to really do a couple of things. Number one is to challenge us to look at ourselves and say, am I a true follower of Jesus, or have I just kind of been a fan, sitting in the stands cheering him on, not really making the sacrifice that I need to make? The other is to help us to reevaluate our relationship with Jesus. What kind of relationship do I really have with him? Again, am I a fan or am I a follower? And as I mentioned a moment ago, we do start the videos tonight, 6 o'clock, and that will be the next 6 weeks that we'll be doing that. I do have the journals for those of you who asked me to order a journal for you. I've got those. If you'll see me after services this morning at my office, then I'll see that you get those. I have had a couple of people that have told me they wanted one after I already ordered them. So I'm going to order some more. If you have not ordered one and you would like to get one, then please let me know this morning so that I can place that order. We're going to be this morning talking about the decision that we need to make. Is it just simply a decision to believe in Jesus, or a decision to make a commitment to truly follow Jesus? And we're going to look at a man by the name of Nicodemus. So turn your Bible to John chapter 3 with me as we begin this morning. And one of the things that we immediately see about this encounter with Jesus that Nicodemus has is that he comes to Jesus at night. Now, I'm convinced that there's a lot of things that the Bible states, little information, bits of information like this, that is there not by accident, and it's not there as filler. Okay? So in other words, John could have just written, Nicodemus came to Jesus to discuss and go on and tell about what they talked about. But he didn't do that. He specifically tells us that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. And there is significance in that part of the story that we need to understand. And I believe that it has everything in the world to do with this idea of either being a fan or a follower. You see, if you begin to understand who Nicodemus really was, then the fact that he came at night becomes very significant. Nicodemus was a very highly respected leader of the Jews. He was a member, he was not only a Pharisee, but Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin. And what that means is that he was a member of the Jewish religious ruling class. Okay? They were the Jewish ruling council. They were the ones who decided the laws and what was going to happen and all of those kind of things. They were the religious leaders of Jesus' day. And nothing happened religiously without their approval. Excuse me. Now, Nicodemus, because of who he was, he could have very easily had an audience with Jesus perhaps any time he really wanted to. You see? In other words, all he would have had to do was to send word to Jesus and say, hey, you know, Jesus, I would like to sit down and talk with you. And he could have had that done just about anything because of who he was and because of his position. But Nicodemus chose to come to Jesus at night. And you see, I think that one of the things that we have to understand is that going to talk with Jesus could be very costly for someone like him. And I think that's why Nicodemus came at night. Nicodemus was very impressed with Jesus, especially with the miracles that Jesus had been performing. Look at verse 2. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that has come from God, for no one else could do the miraculous things you're doing if God had not sent him. So Nicodemus acknowledged that there's something really special about Jesus, but a man in his position does not make a commitment to follow after someone like Jesus without first doing some investigation. Because if he was to become a follower, that would be tremendously costly to him. So let's make sure before I make any kind of a commitment. And so the cover of darkness was less risky to Nicodemus and who he was. And I think that's why Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. It's interesting, just as a side note, okay, I won't charge anything extra for this part of the lesson here, okay? But just as a side note, you know, in this conversation that Nicodemus has with Jesus is where we get John chapter 3 and verse 16, which says, "Oh, come on! For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have life everlasting," right? And the reason that I point that out, you guys got to work on that now, okay? The reason I point that out is because that's the verse that a lot of folks today take from this conversation that Jesus and Nicodemus have, and that's the part that they emphasize. All you have to do is believe and you'll be saved. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus, but they don't even stop to consider all the other things that Jesus told Nicodemus. You see? Which was basically, I don't want just people to be following and believing in me or be fans and just believe in me. I want people who are going to follow me. And that's what the conversation he has at the very first part is all about. Jesus responds to Nicodemus's first statement by saying this, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." That requires a commitment and requires change. See, not just simply believing. But Nicodemus isn't sure about Jesus, and so he comes to him at night in the cover of darkness because there's less risk involved in that. And you know, I think that there's a lot of Christians today who are trying to follow Jesus in the cover of darkness. And what I mean by that is that there are those who will say, "Well, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I just don't make a big deal out of it." Or there are those who say, "Well, yeah, I'm a Christian and I believe in Jesus, but I have a separate life." And so they have a church life and they have a secular life. And they work really hard at not trying to mix the two. But a true follower of Jesus recognizes that when you follow Jesus, you follow Him all the time, not just some of the time. And so there's no such thing in the life of a Christian as a secular life and a religious life, you see. And then there are those who have their church friends, and then they have other friends. And for some of those folks, a lot of their other friends don't really even know that they go to church, and they prefer it that way, you see, because they're trying to follow Jesus under the cover of darkness. They want to be a follower of Jesus, but the cost is too high. And so they follow really more in the shadows than they do in the light. Let me ask you this question. Is Jesus interfering with your life? That's a really important question to think about. If you're going to truly be a follower of Jesus, is Jesus interfering with your life? Turn over to John chapter 7, and let's take a look at the next time that we see Nicodemus. Okay? Several years ago, Cindy and I went on a cruise. And, man, that was fun. How many of y'all ever been on a cruise, by the way? Okay. Man, it's so much fun, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's that, you know, everything is inclusive. Okay, in this. You go on the cruise ship, you put your stuff away, and then, you know, for the next 7 days, it's like all you can eat buffet, right? Yeah, okay, that was not good for me. Okay, but man, it was so much fun. And there's all this activity, you know, all the shows are included and all the fun on board. Now, you do, by the way, have to pay extra for some of those, you know, off-the-ship excursions, right? Some of those are extra. But, you know, we were sitting there at the they have during the cruise, the one we were on, they had a one really formal dinner night, you know. And so, you know, we wore, you know, wore the tux and the formal gown. And, yeah, it was really, really nice. And we had steak and lobster. Oh, yeah, yeah. And I got finished eating my steak and my lobster, and the guy that's waiting on our table, he comes around and he goes, you know, would you like anything else? I go, man, that lobster was really good. He said, would you like another one? And I'm going, really? Yeah, you can have another one if you want. Well, you don't have to ask me twice, okay? You know, because it's all included. Man, cruises are a lot of fun. But you know, I think that there are some Christians who have believed in Jesus but are now kind of, if you would, like cruising through life, so to speak. In other words, it's the idea that says that, you know, they think that just because the debt of sin has been paid, then it doesn't cost anything else, and all I got to do is just kind of cruise along and life is good, right? And they don't understand that following Jesus, there's a cost involved in that. Oh yeah, there's a lot that's included, right? But there's still a cost that has to be paid. It's a sacrifice that you and I have got to make if we're going to truly follow Jesus. Kyle Idleman in one of the videos actually repeats it several times because it's a very powerful point that we need to understand. He says this, most of us don't mind Jesus making some minor changes in our lives, but Jesus wants to turn our lives upside down. Fans don't mind Him doing a little touch-up work, but Jesus wants complete renovation. Fans come to Jesus thinking tune-up, but Jesus is thinking overhaul. Fans think a little makeup is fine, but Jesus is thinking makeover. Fans think a little decorating is required, but Jesus wants a complete remodel. Fans want Jesus to inspire them, but Jesus wants to interfere with their lives. Yeah. You see, when we look here in John chapter 7, at this next time that we see Nicodemus, something interesting is happening here. You see, he's already had this conversation at night. And now where we find Nicodemus is stepping out and taking a risk. And there's a cost involved in that. Go back and look at the narrative here. The temple guards went back to the chief priests and Pharisees who asked them, why didn't you bring him? No one ever spoke the way this man does, the guards declared. You mean he has deceived you also, the Pharisees retorted. Has any of the rulers of the or of the Pharisees believed in him? Wow, there's an interesting question, isn't it? In light of what's getting ready to be said. No. But this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them. Verse 50, Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, does our law condemn anyone without first hearing him to find out what he is doing? And notice the response. Are you from Galilee too? They replied. Look into it and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee. Now, you need to understand the statement. Are you from Galilee too? That's not just a question that is thrown out there out of frustration with him. That is a statement that's saying, are you aligned with this man? That's what that statement is saying. Are you with him? Are you from the same place he's from? You see, if you think about it this way, you know, when we gather together and we're starting to talk to people, maybe people we don't really know that well, maybe we first met them, you ever been somewhere, you're talking with somebody and you realize that you have a connection with them? Maybe you're from the same place. Maybe, you know, you grew up in the same town. Maybe, you know, you have family at this place or what have you. You see? And how does that make you feel? Wow, it's a small world, isn't it, we say. Why? Because we find that connection with that person. Just simply the fact that we're from where they're from. Well, for the Pharisees, the high priest, to make a statement, are you from Galilee too? Is a statement that's saying you've made a connection with him, haven't you? You've made a connection with Jesus. So for Nicodemus to speak out as he did at that moment, they saw him as defending Jesus. He was laying it on the line, stepping out and taking the risk. You see, following Jesus comes with a price tag. It costs something. And that's one of the things that we have to understand. And so I would put it this way to you to think about. If Jesus isn't interfering with your life, then it's because you're not following him. Think about that. If he's not interfering with your life, then you're not really following him. And that's a challenge for us to look at. Because you see, in order to follow Jesus, you have to lose your religion. You really do. You've got to lose your religion if you're going to follow Jesus. Look over in John chapter 19. This is the third time that we see Nicodemus. And notice that this is at the cross of Jesus that we find Nicodemus. This man who was a highly respected member of the Sanhedrin is now at the cross of Jesus. You see? Beginning in verse 38, later Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jews. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. You see, each time we read of the fact that Nicodemus came at night. And that's why I said earlier, it wasn't just a casual thing that John threw into the narrative. It was an important factor. He was known as the man who came to Jesus at night, but not anymore. Nicodemus came to the cross of Jesus, and he helped take his body down and prepare it for burial. And so, you see, in order for Nicodemus to be able to do that openly, he had to lose his religion. He really, really did. See, he'd no longer be welcome amongst the crowd, the folks that he hung around with. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, the members of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of the Jews, would no longer accept him as one of their own. He didn't fit in any longer. And you see, just like the Israelites of Jesus' day did not accept Jesus and did not welcome Him into their following, I'm convinced that there are a lot of churches today where Jesus would not be welcome. Think about that statement. A lot of churches today, and I think there's a lot of lives today where Jesus would not be welcome. See? It's okay to visit Jesus every now and then at night, but to make a commitment and to come out into the open and truly risk something for Jesus. A lot of folks, a lot of churches where that's just not going to happen because of the cost that's involved in being a follower of Jesus. But you know, one of the great things about following Jesus is who can do that? Okay? And I want to finish up this morning with just making sure that we understand. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And so notice that the invitation is open to who? Anyone. Absolutely. Anyone. Matthew tells us that Jesus says, come all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So here's the thing that I want you to think about, okay? If you are an anyone, or if you are an all you, or if you prefer the King's English, an all ye, okay, you can be a you or a ye, doesn't matter, okay? Because He accepts both, all right? If you are an all ye, or an all you, okay? Or if you are an anyone. And is anybody here doesn't fit that category? I didn't think so. So, all of us can be a follower, right? It's open and He calls anyone. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done or who you are or where you come from. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter how much income you have or don't have. None of those things matter because you're an anyone. And Jesus says, anyone who comes to me, you say, and He accepts all of us to come to Him. But now here's one more question for us as a church to think about as we really dig into this whole concept of being followers of Jesus and not just fans. Are we as a church prepared to accept anyone? Think about that. Okay? Are we as a church ready and prepared to accept and to embrace anyone in the all ye's who might come looking for Jesus? It's real easy for us to sit here and go, well, yeah, sure. Just as it is easy for us to go, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But what happens when people start coming through the doors that have a past that is the kind of past that, you know, we just don't want to know about? They have the stuff that's been going on in their lives that, you know, good, sociable people don't involve themselves in. And all of those other kinds of things, because, you see, they are anyone's and all ye's also, aren't they? And so you see, the point is, it's not just enough for us to look and say, well, yeah, I need to be a follower of Jesus, but we've got to be looking out for the anyones that aren't here yet. And the all ye's that Jesus invites to come and to bring their burdens. Well, where are they going to come if not to His church? You see? So we not only have to look at ourselves in terms of us following Jesus, but are we ready to receive those who would seek to follow Him also, those other anyones that are out there? Be prepared to welcome them in. Okay? A lot to think about when you're talking about being a follower of Jesus, isn't it? There's a whole lot more involved than just saying yeah, because there's a cost. Just like Nicodemus recognized and understood, there's a cost to following Jesus. And so we have to look at it and say, okay, did I make a decision just to believe in Jesus, or have I committed my life to follow Him? Anyone and all ye, Jesus welcomes. We're going to stand together and sing an invitation song. And anyone and all ye are invited. If you're not a child of God because you haven't given your life to Him yet, then you need to understand your sins are separating you from God. And until you repent of those sins and give your life to Jesus, you will remain separated. But the great thing is you have the opportunity right now, this morning, to respond to Jesus' invitation to come to Him. Okay? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then confess Him as such. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God right now and have those sins washed away in baptism. The baptistry is ready, right, Chuck? Y'all made sure they checked on it this morning. I know that for a fact. So if that's where you are this morning, then come and let us know. If there's something else maybe that's going on in your life that's preventing you from truly being the follower of Jesus that you need to be, then let us help you deal with that. That's what family does. Let's stand together and sing.